Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Deadline Dilemmas. This is Game Week 30, brought to you by Fantasy Football Scout. And Praz is somewhere else in the world at the moment, but we've made this work.
Yeah, it's 11:37 where I am. But yeah, it's Deadline Dilemmas, and we talk about it because we both have a few Deadline Dilemmas. People are wildcarding, so we'll keep it short, nice and sweet. Short and sweet, and we'll see, you know, if we can answer people's dilemmas in the chat. But yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. And the good thing about doing it this time is we deliberately did it so it's after the press conferences. There's been some bits in the press conferences, but it's probably not been as clear as we'd hoped or wanted. I mean, Eddie Howe basically said nothing.
Yeah, which is actually not a surprise anymore. But, you know, there's some Man City news that we got with Walker and Stones. You know, there were some bits here and there. I mean, even Saka and Gabriel and Martinelli being iffy, although we all know that they'll all be fine tomorrow. So there's bits like that. But yeah, I agree with you. We haven't learned too much, except for our boy Richarlison, who is apparently okay. So we'll talk about him.
Apparently okay. And that probably will have an impact on some people. You know, if Richarlison's going to start, they might change their captain to Salah and vice versa. So we got all that to discuss. So Richarlison does seem to affect everyone at the moment. But yeah, don't forget to like and subscribe. And I guess we should get straight into it because there's not much turnaround now to this deadline. What is it? 12, right. 15 hours?
Indeed.
Yeah. Actually, a bit longer, 17 hours. My math is awful, but yeah.
My time zone is awful. I don't know what time it is.
No, that's
tomorrow.
True, actually.
I will have to figure it out.
Wait, what time?
I just know it's later in the day.
Yeah, okay. So you're not going to be asleep or anything, like when deadline
it's
hits?
It's like, I think 5 p.m. or something like that.
Okay, that's all right then. Because I remember the only one I've had this season, I was in Vegas and it was about 4 or 5 a.m. deadline. And I just made the decision about 2 o'clock that I'm just going to sleep through the deadline. Like, I don't know how people do it. So at least you don't have that dilemma.
I mean, also, the first game is Newcastle, and usually we don't really get Newcastle. There's been a lot of instances of fake Newcastle leaks as well. So I'm not even going to bother. So I'm with you, actually, that this is why I don't know about the deadline, because as you guys will hear, I'm probably rolling, so not much to think about.
You've got Trippier, who I guess we're getting to, so you could have some effect there.
Yeah. Shall I start with my team then?
Yeah.
Or should we start with Rob's?
I'll tell you what, let's start with Rob's. Should we start with the teams, like as in the...
Okay.
So the team. So obviously we've shown this many times before. A lot of podcasts show this, but it is absolutely excellent. So it's Rob T FPL on Twitter. I mean, this week it's all about Spurs, isn't it? I mean, Spurs are projected to 3.15. I don't recall seeing that many above three, like for projections.
There's four before this season. So this is the fifth highest. If I remember, Rob shared this as well.
Okay.
There's four before this, which is basically when Man City and Arsenal played Sheffield United and Luton. Prior. So this is basically Spurs' highest ceiling game in terms of expected goals. But, you know, there is also the competitor, which is Liverpool against Brighton. Now, Brighton's XG conceded data is actually pretty good. They've given Liverpool a game in the past, but they also are equally likely to concede a bucket load of goals and a bucket load of chances. So it does feel, I mean, you know, we are exposed, sort of you and me, who are not getting Salah this week, and there might be many others. It is, you know, he could haul, obviously, like he could in many games.
But the reason a lot of people aren't getting Salah this week is because of the Tottenham, because Tottenham projected to score over three goals. Obviously, Son's a cash cow for a lot of people. We can't go selling Son, so we just got to kind of take it. And I'm assuming next week, Liverpool are going to top this and probably go over three.
Correct, correct. And next week, I think what we'll be talking about, which is a midweek deadline, yep, by the way, will be minutes for Darwin, minutes for Diaz, Salah. Of course, Salah should be okay, but there is going to be some second guessing because that game's on a Thursday and then they play Man United on a Sunday. So, but that's for next week's dilemma. I think this week, people are either fairly comfortable getting to a Salah because they're wildcarding, or they had planned this where they were sort of, you know, they had sold Haaland, or they were planning to get Salah in game week 30. And rightly so. I think he's the guy to get. And Liverpool are the team to kind of differentiate yourself if this week, and if they bang, then, you know, teams that have both Darwin and Salah, or even just Salah, should really fly.
And if you had Salah, because I was thinking about this earlier, if you had Salah, would you captain him over Son, for example?
See, maybe I'm biased, but I don't think so. Like, I was telling the boys on the wire as well that I'm actually fairly happy that some people are going through this buyer's, I don't know what it's called, a new shiny toy syndrome or whatever, that people are like, okay, I'm going to get Salah. Not many people have Salah. I'm going to captain Salah. But if you look at expected odds, so if you go to the next slide from Rob T, if you look at the expected players. Goals, the players one, Salah, Son is higher for 1+ goals. For 2+ goals, the Spurs are higher for expected goals. Both are on penalties. There is no reason concretely that you can say I'm backing Salah over Son, unless you get into a narrative of if Richarlison starts, then Son plays on the left. But all of that is just conjecture. I mean, we don't know if even Richarlison will start, and Son even could get chances. I mean, Brendan Johnson gets chances for, you know, multiple chances a week when he plays on the left. Or Werner, look at how many big chances he misses. So I'm not that worried about Son, but maybe because I don't own Salah.
I feel exactly the same about it. But like you say, it could be because we don't own him. And I do find, I mean, if I buy a player one week, I mean, you just touched on this, I'm cheering that player on more than any other player, just because, you know, that's my new transfer. That's the decision I've made. Obviously, being able to captain Salah as a differential is massive. And I guess a lot of people are quite down on Spurs because of obviously what happened in the bank game week that we've not really mentioned that. I don't think we've done one of these since our free hits.
I was hoping it's dead and buried and never talked about it again.
But yeah, having to watch that game against Fulham, I guess people are lower on Son because of that as well. Because, I mean, look what he did the week before.
Exactly. It's silly. I mean, this is Luton, a team that doesn't have a centre-back. Nobody has come back since the international break. In fact, they have lost one. Who have they lost? Osho? I mean, they've lost, basically, they have a lot of injuries. Apart from Doughty, their backline is still, you know, basically half of them are injured. They're going to give up a lot of chances. I mean, Bournemouth scored 4 in the second half. I don't see how. Of course, I'm happy to eat my words if it doesn't happen. I don't see how Spurs don't score 3 goals.
No, I'm the same.
And this is what the expected goals shows.
Yeah, and I mean, Luton, a lot of people say they're like a low block team, but they're not. There's been a lot of good stats that have shown, that they're not a low block team. Like you say, they play football. So, yeah, I want to captain a Spurs player. And I mean, looking at this as well, Richarlison, who we're probably going to we'll try and limit how much we mention him. But I mean, I had a moment last week where, you know, if I thought Richarlison was going to get good minutes, and we can't be confident of that now, I was actually between Son and Richarlison for the captaincy. But I think at best he's going to get 60 minutes, like at maybe 70 at a push. But we know he's not going to get 90, and this is based on 90 minutes. But
correct.
I mean, you've also touched on like the congestion of fixtures as well for Liverpool. And I think one of their games has been moved, as in it got moved forward today. So, I mean, there could be a knock on, couldn't there? Salah could get slightly reduced minutes. And I'm not talking like 60 minutes, but I wouldn't be shocked if he came off at like the 75th minute or something.
But the same is true for Son then.
Very true.
They play West Ham on Tuesday. So I think the minutes argument works both ways, where both if they're 3-0 up, 4-0 up, that both Son and Salah, because of the midweek fixtures, are maybe, you know, they're taken off. Now, Son normally doesn't complain. Salah complains a lot. So if there's anyone who I would say when they're 4-0 up, would, you know, throw a fit if they're being subbed off, it's probably Salah. So I would still say expected minutes for Salah are higher, but he's also coming off the back of an injury where he was subbed off on the 75th minute and didn't complain. But it's been 2 weeks since.
It's true. No, he's been rested. He didn't go away with Egypt, but there is that injury. And I guess that's or previous injury, which we've also got with Richarlison as well. So,
yeah,
I think I'd be confidently going for Son, but I can understand why people want to go for Salah. Because, I mean, not only that, I guess if you're chasing a mini league, it's a great way to differentiate if you're, you know, if your rival can't get to Salah and you throw the armband on and then you just hope to get lucky. Because we could be on one of these split weeks. We've not had one for a while where one captain goes off and one doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, for people who have both, obviously they're hoping that both do really well, right? I mean, it doesn't matter because if you have three off, so you captain one of them, you have three Salah and Sons, two of one and one of the other, you just hope both get 15, 20 points. And basically, you know, people like us, we'll only get 30 points out of it. The people who have both will get 45 points out of it. So having both in itself is the edge. And I think that's where people may want to think about if they have their conviction on Son, that they don't have to go for the new shiny toy. In fact, Wasim has made a really, really good point that they have so few centre-backs, Luton, that one of their medics had to play centre-back in training and he got injured.
Is that true?
It's true. Even, I think Neil tweeted
it. I didn't realise that.
So, I mean, the medic won't play in the game, but I mean, he can't anyway, he's injured. But there is an opportunity here. And if there is a game that goes nuclear, you know, like a 6-3 or a 6-2, I can see it as the Spurs game rather than the Liverpool game. I don't know. Again, maybe it's bias, owner's bias, because we don't have Salah. So sorry, guys, if we're being anti-Salah a little bit, but maybe we're just trying to tell ourselves a story.
It is hard because I've been telling myself all this stuff not to worry about Salah all week. So then we jump on this and yeah, I don't want to put people off it. But that medic thing's amazing. I need to look that up. Imagine he got added to the game and wasn't injured and... like 3.5 defender or something like that. Indeed. Are there any other players that stand out for you on here? It seems to be like the usual suspects. I mean, Haaland's still up there. Obviously, Solanke's there. Watkins is there.
I mean, in the strikers, I was surprised Solanke's higher than anyone else. So he is... is he even higher than Haaland? I forget.
He is, yeah. He's only behind Son, Richarlison and Salah. And we know Solanke's going to be 90 minutes. I mean, it sounds like his injury worries are completely behind him.
Exactly. So that was a nice surprise because not a lot of people on wildcard are going for Solanke for obvious reasons, because if they're free hitting in 34, there are other nicer toys like Isak, Darwin, even Jackson, even Muniz, even Cunha. Like there are options. So I don't think a lot of people who are basically wildcarding will have Solanke. I know Zoff has in his latest draft, but he's also tempted by Darwin. So I like Solanke's odds. I also like that he's playing the midweek games because you expect 90-90-90, whereas some of the other strikers like Isak, Darwin, you don't know if they get 250, 240 minutes. So I think Solanke is a good pick, and I think people who have him, I was quite happy to see that. Even Tony stood out higher than Darwin, higher than Palmer. A lot of people are looking at Palmer captain. I mean, these guys have higher goal scoring odds. Obviously, Palmer is on pens and, you know, he gets more points if he scores a goal and keeps a clean sheet. So these are the guys that stand out, and I think this is going to be a, you know, famous last words, but a high scoring week because a lot of people own a lot of these high potential, high ceiling players.
Well, it's going to be higher scoring than last week anyway. And it's going to be interesting to see all the EOs because I feel like a player like Watkins, I think a lot of people wildcarded this week, they're not going to have Watkins. And I mean, if he blanks this week, I think we're going to see a huge sell-off next week.
Yeah.
But then there might be some people who actually end up holding on to him. And I think he's got Brentford at home in 33, for example. Yeah. So it'll be interesting seeing Watkins at like 20-30% EO. And I think there's going to be a lot of swings because we literally can't have them all.
And I mean, I think we may be overestimating the drop-off because if you look at it, in the top 10K or in the top 100K, there were a lot of free hits played. And if there were maybe 50% free hits played, then naturally not everybody would be wildcarding immediately after. Some teams may be absolutely fine. So I'm still thinking around 20% wildcard this week, maybe another 10% this week. Maybe even that's too high. But there would be some natural transfers as well. People selling Watkins, people selling Fodens to Funde Salah. So there could be some attrition anyway. But I do think it's not going to be sky high. Like I feel like Son will be 160, 170% EO. Maybe I'm over exaggerating it, but Salah would only be 50, 60%. Do you not think?
I was trying to work Salah out because I feel like he might get to 30, 30% owned, 35%. But then I guess you've got to take into account the captaincy as well. And it seems like I've seen a few Twitter polls where Salah seems hugely captained. Mm. And either people are just lying or they're just
captain. I vote Salah in these things because I just feel, okay, maybe he's the best captain and people want to hear that. But I personally, if I had both, I'd be in a real dilemma. I don't think it's an obvious Salah. But we don't need to repeat our discussion on the captaincy.
No. So should we move on? Should we move on to your dilemma first of all?
Sure.
So I've just put your team on the screen.
Okay. So I have got double Bournemouth defense, which I'm not too excited about, but it's fine. They have a home game, so Neto and Zabarni, and then I have Trippier home to West Ham. Now, last night, a lot of Newcastle accounts tweeted that he's in training, so I was fairly confident. And when Eddie Howe has said possible, I take it as likely. So I'm thinking 70-80% odds that Trippier is fine. If there is any last minute leaks that he's not starting, then Gabriel is there, and I don't mind starting Gabriel. So I really hope though that Trippier can start. Then I have got my Villa guy who I've held from game week 18, Konza, who's been very close to getting me points on multiple occasions but hasn't come through. Actually, both Trippier and Konza.
I was going to say Trippier's did that to you as well with the injury.
Yeah, both have given me 59th minute sub-offs and then a clean sheet for the team. So we'll see. Maybe this is the week. So I'm actually okay with the defense because not a lot of people's defense looks great this week other than maybe a Gusto or a Porro. But then they don't have a Trippier if he starts. So okay with that. I think Farmer, Foden, Son, and Richarlison at the moment are who I'm starting with, but we'll talk about Richarlison. And then up top, Solanke, Watkins, and Haaland is absolutely fine. So dilemma is simply, who do I bench between Saka, Foden, and Richarlison? In terms of expected lineups and how I think City will line up, and you know, Luke shared some of his views and we were chatting generally, I think the thinking is Foden will be very central again because it'll be Guardiola on the left who will push up because there's no Walker. And on the right, it'll be Bernardo Silva. So Foden will play that Gundogan role, that central role, you know, almost behind Haaland. So I'm happy to start him. The odds suggest that Man City should win this. Of course, anything can happen. So I'm going to go with Foden as one. Then it's between Saka and Richarlison. And it's simply, if I knew Richarlison starting, it's a no-brainer to start Richarlison. But if he's not starting, then I'm basically benching a perfectly good player who is on penalties, who's playing a team that has Stones and Walker injured. So there could be goals. Like, I'm expecting a 2-1 kind of game to either team. So that's the dilemma.
He's someone you'd never bench, isn't he? He's someone you'd never bench normally, Saka. But
this is the only fixture for which you'll ever bench him.
Yeah, and it's just the fact that Richarlison has such a good fixture. We showed that Rob T graphic where, you know, he's second highest projected goals. I mean,
more than Salah.
Yeah.
He starts.
That's the thing. And yeah, like you say, it's the dilemma I've got as well. And what do you think the odds are of Richarlison starting? Because I feel like I've read a few things today. There's been a lot of contradictory, you know, opinions on it. And I feel like it's below 50%. I feel like in my mind, and I'm just making numbers up, but I'm probably at about 40% that Richarlison starts.
Yeah. I mean, I went to Baker and Adam, who are the Spurs guys that I usually discuss this stuff with. They're not that bullish. I mean, basically the summary, Baker's in the chat, by the way. So Baker was like, look, I'd be surprised. I think a lot of fans want him to start. So I think long-term, medium-term, he's probably okay. But they'd be surprised because he's had no international minutes. Even before this, he had a 20-minute cameo. There must be something that's up. Now we know that there was a niggle. Even Ange said that. Apparently a leg injury. Paul O'Keefe said that. Paul O'Keefe has tweeted that he doesn't think Richarlison will start, but that's his opinion. Mm-hmm. So I think most people are wavering towards they would love him to start, but he won't start. That's the summary. So which is almost close to 40% that you're saying.
But even then, there could be things like, you know, he gets 45 minutes. You know, he could come on at half time. I mean, I guess there's even the option that he just doesn't play at all. But that wouldn't affect us for FPL because we'd just get Saka off the bench. So. Yeah. Yeah, I'm leaning heavily towards starting Richarlison, but I'm not confident. I'm just not confident in the minutes at all. But the golf
seems like gambling.
I mean, it is literally gambling because normally you'd start the player who's, you know, is going to start. I mean, with a defender, it would be no question at all. And he doesn't even have penalties, so it's not even like, you know, he's going to come on and maybe get a penalty. You know, he has to score from open play. But I've just, and it's a big reason we free hit as well because we wanted to keep, you know, double Spurs for this week.
This was the fixture. This is the money fixture.
Because we couldn't play Richarlison in the blank because we knew he was injured. So,
I mean, one thinking I had was, and tell me if this is just probabilistically doesn't make sense, but it's like a hedge, right?
Okay.
If Richarlison starts, and let's assume this whole story of if Son is on the left, he's worse. If Richarlison starts, then you've got Richarlison in the middle and Son captain on the left. So even though Son is diminished a little bit, you have now the striker playing Luton, who is basically higher goal odds than Salah. If Richarlison doesn't start, then you have your captain playing up top. And any minutes that your captain loses, let's say he's subbed off 60th minute, you still have a striker playing Luton up top coming on for him. I mean, theoretically, if he replaces Son. Is that logic? Is that just a story?
I mean, I was thinking it earlier myself. Because the reason I was thinking it is that most people that just have Son, they're going to want, and they look captain in Son, they're going to want Richarlison to be benched. Whereas we'd want Richarlison to start. And then if he doesn't, we can just tell ourselves, well, at least Son's playing up top. So, it is a hedge. And obviously Son can still do stuff out wide anyway. I have seen some statistics shared today that it does look like Son's numbers are better when he plays without Richarlison. But then Richarlison's minutes haven't been incredible anyway. Like he had that little period where he got 90. And I think quite a bit of that was when Son was at the Asia Cup as well. So
the back end, he was still getting good minutes when Son was there. He started playing up the left basically, and he was smashing it. And it's also a little bit of maybe you and I have held him for so many hauls, but he was consistently scoring a goal a game for five or six games. And it was just beautiful points. And now we have good memories and we're trying to chase it.
I mean, he was the reason we got so many green arrows for a period of time because we had Richarlison, and yeah, he was low owned. But yeah, and also I think with Saka, I mean, obviously he can score in any game, but I'm going to hate saying this, but I just don't see the brace. I don't see the hat trick. I mean, maybe he will come out of it with, you know, an 8, 9, 10 pointer. I just don't see the big score that's going to really, really punish us. I mean, maybe Saka gets 8 points, Richarlison gets one, we only lose 7. Whereas I feel like it, the other way round, I mean, if we start Saka and Richarlison starts, I mean, the ceiling is 20 plus. Like, I don't even think that's exaggerating.
Let's sleep on Richarlison in the team and we see how we feel.
There might be some news tomorrow. I mean, the deadline's 4 hours before kickoff. So 3 hours before team sheets. So,
but it's a home game. There's no buses involved. No. There's no hotel nights involved. And they're pretty quiet. We don't get much Spurs news, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's the thing we do, especially if you're rolling, right? There's nothing else to think about than just last minute checking for news. So yeah, that's where I am. But let's talk quickly about the path. Like, how are we thinking going forward? Because we won't do this. So in my case, and we could be on similar paths because we have similar teams. But in my case, there's two options. I can go basically next week if I feel Darwin's minutes are iffy. Right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's because of a nigger or he gets booked.
Yeah.
Then I think my transfer will be Watkins to Cunha and Son to Salah. If I didn't want to take a hit, or I could do Watkins to Cunha, Richarlison to Salah, and Trippier to Richards, basically the 3.9 defender from Crystal Palace. I don't know if I'll play Richards in the double, but he's just a nice enabler, 3.9.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So that's the route to get to Salah next week. Salah will definitely come in, but I'm not sure about Darwin.
So that's
basically the route.
That latter route. So you could potentially have two double game week defenders on the bench.
Like,
it makes sense.
I did explore a bench boost, but I still don't think it's worth it.
No, it's probably not. It's probably not. It's just funny how obviously we thought double Bournemouth might be good if they got a double, but neither of us are looking at playing that. I mean, obviously the keeper, that's just a keeper. We'll roll him out, but...
Yeah. I mean, the Richards move will basically give me an option that leading into game week 34, instead of getting a third Liverpool defender, if Trent is fit, I might just go for Luis Diaz as my third Liverpool attacker and play Richards as my defender. That's the only optionality that will give me, but that's about it. And that's really the plan. So Watkins is definitely going. I don't want to sell Son, especially if Richarlison is not playing and Son continues to play up top, because actually Son is also the best captain in 32 when he plays Forest at home, right?
Yes.
So that's another reason.
So the latter route is to keep Son.
Exactly. It'll be Richarlison who becomes Salah, but it's for a hit.
So I think we have similar thoughts here, because I think I'm going to have to lose Son, but I have been looking at routes that mean I don't have to. Obviously, I'd much rather lose Watkins, but a lot of that hinges on, you know, how fit is Richarlison. We'll obviously find out a lot about that tomorrow. I mean, that's probably the main thing, actually, is Richarlison, because I don't have the luxury of moving. And you've also got Trippier, which means you've got funds less spread. Whereas I think when we go to my team, my money's spread around a lot more. Plus, you've got a million more than me. I don't know if you know this, but I tried to build your team and I was a million short.
I don't know how I built team value. I mean, look, if you look at my review transfer times, I'm like useless. I'm really bad. I do really late transfers. I guess it's just the fact that I've held Watkins since game week 10 wildcard. I've held Palmer since game week 10 wildcard. There's a lot of value built in these players, which is fake value. As soon as I sell Watkins, the value will come down.
That's true. I mean, yeah, I've sold Watkins multiple times. I also held Pedro on two occasions, and Rico Lewis didn't help. So there's some stuff that's me. It might be more me than you as well. Right. Yeah. But yeah, so I guess your other dilemma would be if you start Saka or Foden as well.
So I've now landed on Foden over Saka. Okay. I do think, like, there was a part of me that was thinking if Foden plays on the right, he had a good chemistry with Walker, where Walker was bombing forward. And Foden would basically cut in, right? When he was doing the Alvarez-Foden thing. But it's more likely that he plays a little bit off the left and he has the same chemistry with Guardiola, which means he doesn't have to hug the touchline, which means that he can be more central. That's the hope. And I'm working off the assumption that Man City score two goals and Arsenal score one. And so I'm hoping that Foden is involved in one of the two goals versus Saka not being involved in one.
Plus, you got the home fixture.
The home fixture, that's what makes the biggest difference. There's no way we're benching Saka at home to Arsenal or anyone.
No, it does. I mean, yeah, when you look at like Rob T's projections as well, you see that the home team a lot of the time is projected to score more goals as a general rule of thumb anyway.
I mean, you saw in Game Week 29, sorry for the trigger, but you know, we were backing away teams to do well against home teams. If you look at our free hit teams, we were backing Spurs away from home. We were backing Villa away from home. We were backing, who else? Brentford away from home. All fell flat on our faces. Now, that doesn't mean away teams don't win. But yeah, I mean, backing the home team all, you know, generally works out.
Yeah. I mean, Fulham was that weird one. Fulham were the lowest chance of a clean sheet last week. Anyway, I don't want to open up the wounds too much. But obviously, they were the only team who actually kept the clean sheet. I'll put my team on the screen. I mean, we're quite similar. There are differences. I think my money's spread a lot more. And your team looks better. Like, without transfers, I think, because of your defenders, your team's much, much stronger.
It's just Trippier, I think.
It's Trippier over Gabriel. But obviously, if Trippier starts, that's pretty big. But your defenders have been better than mine for a while, to be honest. And you've just got really unlucky. Like you mentioned, with Konsa, with Trippier, all that nonsense going on. But yeah, I've got Neto in goal as well, and Zabanyi, so the same double up. Instead of having Konsa, I've got Pau Torres, and then I've got Gabriel. My midfield's the same as yours, so Foden, Palmer, Son captain, and Richarlison, and then Solanke, Haaland, and Watkins. So my bench at the moment, Saka, Saliba, and Doughty. I thought I was going to be rolling, and now I am looking at I'm looking at bringing in Bradley for Doughty. I'm not 100% set on it, but it frees up 0.3 million, which actually gives me way more options next week, because I could look at selling Watkins or I could look at selling Son, because I would like to keep Son. Although I do think my routes mean I'm going to have to sell Son regardless. But
so you would, if you do the Bradley move. So firstly, I think people will be surprised to hear about Bradley. So let's clarify why you're looking at Bradley, because Bradley is not going to play in the double. You're just getting him for very short term, 2-3 games.
Yeah, so I think the key thing, and we've not mentioned our chip strategy, but we're both dead-ending into 34. So we're in a scenario already where Zabanyi, he's got a double. I'm probably not going to play him. And we're quite well set up for the double. So I can bring in Bradley, and it doesn't actually really affect me. As in, I could still sell Bradley for someone else nearer the time. I could bench Bradley. Like, it's not for 34 at all. But there's still that chance. You know, Trent is, what, 2-3 weeks away. Look, what if he gets re-injured, gets another knock? You know, I can get lucky by that. And in the meantime, I'm getting Bradley at home to Brighton instead of Gabriel at Man City, which is huge. I can then play Bradley at home to Sheffield United midweek instead of playing Zabanyi, who has no attacking threat, even though he just scored. So I think it helps me for the next 2 weeks. I can get luckier for longer. It frees up 0.3 million as well, which does give me a little bit more flexibility next week as well. But it also probably, if I want Salah next week, forces me into doing a hit, which I wouldn't have to do otherwise.
I mean, you would have to. So regardless, you're taking a hit next week, aren't you?
No. So if I don't buy Bradley, I can do Watkins down to, I think, Cunha or Mateta, and then I can do Son up to Salah. So I'd have to, if I roll, because I'll have two free transfers. There's also a route where I can sell Son and Richarlison, which was for stats for Salah, and then a cheap midfielder, like a Cunha or something. Sarabia was one, sorry. Yeah, Sarabia. Cunha is obviously if I sell Watkins. The one thing I'm starting to like, if I do have to lose Son next week, I'm getting too much into next week, I can then keep Watkins for that Brentford at home fixture in 33. So,
You would go straight Son to Salah? You have the money?
Son to Salah, but I'd have to use my second transfer. So yeah, next week I'll do a hit. So if I bring in Bradley this week, I'd have to do Son.
How would you keep Watkins? Or you'd sell Richarlison as well?
Yeah, I keep either Watkins or Son.
Got it.
So it would be, Son and Richarlison would leave the team. And then I'd bring in Salah and a cheap midfielder. So yeah, Sarabia is probably the one there. Okay. But like you say, it's for a hit. And then I've got no Spurs with that route. So I'm obviously going to worry about it a bit more next week, but I don't think Bradley does anything too bad. As in, it does improve my team this week. There's no doubt about that. But it will annoy me having to do the hit. I mean, there is a route I could do this week where I could sell Haaland. I'm not going to do this. I could do Haaland to Darwin, and then I can bring in Salah.
As soon as that Haaland training injury basically popped up, right? That was my first thought as well. That would solve everything. You just go Haaland to Darwin and anyone to Salah.
Yeah, mine would be Richarlison to Salah. That was more when I was thinking Richarlison might not play at all. Like when I started thinking the worst. Because then you can, if you're dead-ended, you could actually buy Haaland back in like 33. Mm-hmm. So it's not, I mean, it depends how many transfers you've got. But most of us with three Arsenal are pretty well set up, for the double. True. So I'm not 100% on it. I don't know what you think about it.
Look, I think my issue, I think we briefly texted. Mm-hmm. My issue is not the Bradley in. I think Bradley in is fine. I was just not sure if Bradley is the guy or Gusto is the guy you should be thinking about. Same price, but Gusto gets you Burnley at home. So it solves your problem as well for this week. But with Gusto, you're not blocking your third Liverpool that you have to address him.
Yep.
And the second thing is with Bradley, I'm just not sure if there's a game somewhere here where it's Tsimikas on the left and Gomez on the right. I don't know. So that I'm not a Liverpool fan, so I can't say what is the likelihood of that happening. But surely Gomez started right back against Man United as well, the FA Cup game that they lost, if I remember correctly.
No, you're right. He did miss the game, and it was something that was worrying me because I think the key thing is, it helps me a bit this week, but it's the midweek fixture. Well, I'd really want Bradley because then I've got two Arsenal. They're playing Luton, aren't they, midweek? Is that right?
Yes.
I'd have Gabriel and Saliba at home to Luton and then Bradley at home to Sheffield United. So the defence that week seems really nice as well.
But next week is okay, right? I mean, even...
I'd have to play Zabanyi.
Bournemouth,
which is home to Palace. So
it's not too bad.
It's not a huge issue. It's not. But then also that 0.3 really does help me. Do you know what? I should have written down what move it was. There is a move where I've got the exact money, which is not going to happen because Salah's going to go up tonight. Yeah. So it does buy me a bit of flexibility. It's not the best move in the world, so I probably shouldn't talk about it too much. And it's probably one... Do you remember when I bought Doughty and really regretted it because it was borderline? Yeah. It's probably a bit like that as well.
You do love to defend the transfers.
Yeah. I mean, do you think people on wildcard might look at Bradley? Because you'll have like Bradley, Gusto...
I think there is enough luxury for... And we haven't talked about wildcarders, so we should give them five minutes. I think there's enough luxury in wildcards to have some luxury transfers. So like some people could start with Watkins and then move him on to a Darwin if they want watching. If they get another yellow, you could start with a Jackson who's a 9 yellows and just deal with it if he gets his 10th yellow. Similarly, you can start with Bradley and basically take the upside of 2 or even Kelleher and basically take the upside of 2-3 good games defensively. I mean, they have Forest at home. No, they do have Forest. They have Man United away. They have Sheffield United at home, Brighton at home. Amazing fixtures. So you're looking at 2 clean sheets there. You know, good chance of 2 clean sheets there. So I don't see what's wrong with it. Because anyway, after game week 35, and I'm talking to wildcarders who are free hitting in 34, even if you're not actually, you will have to do a lot of transfers between 34 and 36 to get more Chelsea, more Spurs, or selling your Salah and your Sakas to use the funds, distribute it in your defense. Your Bradley can become a Trippier in game week 35. So there is, I think, logic in trying to be a little bit luxurious as well for one or two spots as a wildcarder.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing I'm jealous of with the wildcarders is that 5-man midfield that I think we're both trying to get to, but it might be a bit of a struggle. And that's obviously, that's Palmer, that's Son, that's having Saka, who you're probably benching this week. Yeah, that's the one that I really want because... And I don't think a lot of people have Foden either.
No, not many have Foden. I think there's Garnacho in that spot.
Yeah.
At least in the wildcard template.
Because that enables it.
Because, he enables it and he's obviously good for bench boost 37, which a lot of wildcard teams are looking at.
I think that's my main jealousy with not being on wildcard is the balance you can get. We're kind of forced into certain ways. But obviously stuff like having Neto is probably not the optimal goalkeeper to have, but... It would do.
Exactly. I mean, Com says he's gone Van Dijk on wildcard. That's a great shout. I think that's a great shout. You know, having owned... Did you own Van Dijk?
No, I didn't. No, I had Trent and didn't want to do the hit.
It's so nice. It's a bit like owning Gabriel and Saliba. And every time there's a corner, there's this little extra incentive over a double game week because Van Dijk gets his head on everything, man. I mean, it's beautiful if you own him in FPL.
Oh,
especially if Trent isn't available, right? Because if Trent is available, he's always a second class. You know, you have to go for Trent. But I think if he's not available, then Van Dijk is amazing.
See, I think he's absolute no-brainer if you're on wild card or to have a plan to get him. And my original plan, actually, before I started thinking about Bradley... was just, you know, how do I get Van Dijk? How do I get Salah? And I'll see what happens with Darwin because Darwin's quite easy to buy still, even if it's just, you know, in 34. But yeah, if I go Bradley, I would be stopping myself getting Van Dijk. And he did go on a bit of a tear, didn't he? As in he hit the bar, he scored. Did he then score in a cup competition as well?
He did as well. So, good pick. I think for wildcarders, look, I think it's a... fairly, the only dilemma for me, for them, is defenders and goalkeepers. Because I think the midfield, like you mentioned, picks itself. I think the attack, Darwin, Isak, Haaland, picks itself. Like, you could go a little bit rogue there with Jackson or even Solanke, but I think, you know, you don't have to, especially if you're free hitting in 34. So I don't think there's a lot for wildcarders to think about, except for the defense, where there are certain picks. Like, I'm not completely sold on that Gusto will play both games in the double... 8 weeks from now, 7 weeks from now. Lascelles, what is the situation with their defense? Does Livramento or Lewis Hall get a few minutes? Maybe not, but those feel a little riskier. But as I said, there's a lot of transfers to figure it out after 34.
Yeah, and I don't think we got a return date on Sanchez. But obviously Petrovic, I think he's no-brainer now. Yeah, which, I mean, to be honest, he probably was anyway, but just having that injury as well, you know, because there was that 1% of doubt. And I mean, I saw Zoff made a really good point on Twitter about, obviously, Chelsea have got all those games at the end of the season, all in succession, where they might not be playing for anything. But,
correct.
I mean, then we're just going to go back to the, you know, at least if you've got a double game week, you're definitely going to start one game.
And the 120 second, minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a bit like the Brighton double last year. Do you remember they had double doubles?
Yeah, I was going to say, which there was a lot of doubles last year.
They had double doubles in 36, 37, something like that. And nobody played except for McAllister, who kept scoring, and I didn't have him. I had March and Mitoma, hated him. But yeah, anyway, we are digressing. I see a couple of questions in the chat. Shall we answer those and then get out of here?
Yeah, let's do a couple.
Okay, so I can see Yvonne has a question. Yvette has a question. Worth selling Foden for Palmer and Odegaard for Salah? He doesn't have a Spurs mid. Foden for Palmer and Odegaard for Salah.
None of these are easy because a lot of people doing midfield transfers are losing someone good. there's not like an obvious person to lose. I mean, I think getting Palmer is an absolute no-brainer. And you're going to have to get Salah eventually. Well, by eventually, probably midweek at the latest. But then you're losing a doubler with Odegaard.
I mean, I'm going to assume it's a free hit in 34 and say go for it. I mean, these are both captain shouts, especially if they don't have Spurs. They need a captain, right? So Salah, if you want to captain, then do it. But if you can get away with just captaining Palmer, then they're just too Foden to Palmer or something.
Odegaard to Palmer. And I guess if they've not got free hit, you could still bring a third Arsenal back in nearer the time, because obviously Son will blank in 34. You could target one of the Arsenal defenders, even though I think people free hitting in 34 are probably going to go the double attack. So actually, on reflection, that does seem pretty decent move.
Okay, so Stoichkov FPL is in the chat. He's a great manager.
Yes.
Next game week to get Salah is better to sell Son or for Foden. So we talked about this, if you go back 15 minutes. We were both debating the same thing. What about Havertz over Saka? Some people are considering on wildcard. What do you think? I know my answer. I think I know yours.
Yeah, I couldn't not have Saka. Like, I've had him every game week and we're only benching him because of the fixture this week.
It feels like one of those where you try to be clever and go for Diaz instead of Salah. And you could get lucky and Diaz scores a couple of goals. But over a long run, if you have them for 5-6 weeks, there is no chance Havertz is outscoring Saka. No chance. And I know he's done well in the past, but we're predicting the future. And he, you know, Jesus could eat up his minutes. He needs one bad game to basically miss out on minutes. He's not on penalties. It's just not the same. Even if I understand there is some saving there, some players over a double game week are non-negotiable, and Saka and Salah are pretty much going to be close for that game week 34.
Yeah, and I think when you compare the price of Saka and Salah, Saka's just he's basically a dead spot in the team. For me, I'd go Saka every time. I mean, Havertz is interesting, but a bit like Odegaard, you've got to lose someone else. And something quite interesting is just looking at all these players. Like, I've looked at Foden, and there's a couple of weeks where I really, really want him ahead of the double. So he's going to be hard to sell. It's going to be painful selling the Spurs players, because obviously they've got a couple of good fixtures. You're going to keep Palmer no matter what. And people can't sell Saka this week because they've got Luton at home midweek.
Correct.
So it's going to be hard. I think there's going to be some, in the nicest possible way, we're going to make some bad transfers over the coming weeks because we're going to be selling good players.
Well said. I think it's going to happen. Yeah, there's going to be some tears, and it's going to happen later as well, not just now. Game week 35 wildcard, people will be without Salah and Saka for the last 4 game weeks, and it's not like they will stop scoring points.
No, it's very true.
Still have them.
But I guess the key thing is their hindsight bad transfers.
Fair.
But no, you're right, because I'm already thinking about, can I roll in 37 so I can bring, you know, even like Gabriel back, like, I'll miss him.
Yeah, exactly. Some of these players we've had for such a long time. I think my core of my team is the same as Wildcard 10. It's been incredible this season in terms of just moving players around. Like, I had Gabriel, I got Saliba very quickly after that. You know, the midfield has been there for a while, and I had Salah and Son not gone for AFCON and Asia Cup, they would have stuck around. Like, we would have had nothing to do. Haaland's been there since he's been fit, but anyway.
We just held Palmer ever since our wildcard. He's going Palmer, nowhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. Richarlison has been there for such a long time. Anyway, Nuclear Atoms is saying, would you get Bradley now, you know, even if it means taking a hit to get rid of him? If you go back to Flapjack's team, we talked about him.
Yeah, I wouldn't be doing a hit for him. Like, I mean, I guess the only scenario I could think of a hit, let's say your team, like, and I know you're not looking to get him, but if selling Trippier, so let's say Trippier was ruled out and you sold Trippier for Bradley, and that freed up the money for Salah.
For next week.
Yeah,
I agree.
Then possibly. But with something like what I'm doing, Doughty to Bradley, it's not freeing up much money, is it? It's like 0.3. So, no.
Right. Last question from Wasim. What about Watkins captaincy this game week? I just think there's better options. Like, Palmer is better. Salah, Son are better.
Agree. Yeah, I completely agree. And I do think we probably not talked about Palmer enough. like almost disrespected him. But
Burnley at home, man.
Yeah,
as good as it gets.
And again, looking at Rob T's thing very, very quickly, like, we didn't mention Chelsea, but I mean, Liverpool projected 2.65 goals. Chelsea are on 2.55.
Almost the same.
And Palmer is the talisman. He's on penalties, you know. we say
he's
it every
either
week.
Assisting or scoring. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's very, very, very talismanic, which is why Nico Jackson is great. I mean, in the FPL challenge, I've got Nico Jackson because I just think there is potential there.
Oh, we haven't even talked about FPL Challenge. Well, we won't have time for that now, but I do need to set a team. Are you going like very quickly on it, actually? I know I said we wouldn't mention it. Are you going for like a normal team or are you going like five players from one and aggressive?
I'm going for aggressive with four non-playing players, but I won't get into the whole tactics. How do you hack auto subs. I just can't help it. It's a fun game, but I want to maximize my fun by getting most points. And I'll see if we can do this whole auto sub thing. And if it works, then fun. Otherwise, Look, this is beta phase, right? I mean, I think if people are annoyed by this FPL challenge, don't play. It's fine. I mean, they're just testing it out in terms of what the take-up rate is. And then next season is when it's fully a backup.
We mentioned you trying to hack the system on Scoutcast on Monday.
You have to find a way.
awesome. Well, right. I think we said we'd go for half an hour and we haven't. It's 45 minutes as per usual.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. But it's good. We had fun and hopefully we helped other people and especially the commiserations to those other people who free hit it in 29. We'll be fine. We'll survive.
Yeah, we will. Oh God, imagine this happens again and it's just an awful week. But let's not end on a low note.
All right. Come on, Richarlison.
Yes, come on. All right. All right. I'll see you soon.